He saw the linens, he saw and believed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Today is the Saturday of Easter week, the commemoration of Pope St. Leo the Great, one of the great early popes, doctor of the church, great writer and organizer, one of the Pope kings of early Rome, who is very, very much honored in the church's memory. Today's Mass is a particularly beautiful one. It's the last Mass of the Easter octave. Tomorrow is the octave day of Easter, Low Sunday we call it in English. In today's Mass, there are a number of things, symbols, one thing that stands for something else. So we have a reference to milk, and that will be stressed again tomorrow in the Mass. Newborn babes, we have to desire that pure spiritual milk that our Lord gives us. The Church is thinking of those who were baptized a week ago at St. John Lateran, the great cathedral of the Pope in Rome. And then there's the rock or the stone and also the pebble. Our Lord is the cornerstone, and for the Jews, he is the rock of falling and the occasion of their own sin, because they would not accept Christ as their king and as their God, as their Messiah and as their Savior. We have to be careful ourselves not to be one to another. The stone of scandal. Scandal means a little stone that causes somebody to trip and to fall. Bad example, bad words in particular. But most of all today, we're thinking about clothing, garments. Today is called, in the Missal, you see, Saturday in Albis, or Saturday in White. The rest of the phrase is the Saturday in the laying aside of the white garments. You see, the converts in early Rome, the early church, were clothed in a white robe. You received a little symbolical one when you were baptized. Probably the priest just laid a white cloth, a purificator, or a little towel over you for a moment. Sometimes that's the origin, actually, of the little baby gown that children come already dressed in for their baptisms. Well, in the early church, the adult converts received that. We had an adult convert last week at St. Gertrude's, and he received a big fellow, and he received a big old sort of a choir robe that we use for the occasion. But then, in Rome, they wore it for a week, and they went to Mass every day to all these different important churches in Rome. And today, they went back a week later to the church where they were baptized to receive their last lessons, as it were. And then they took off the white robe, and it was washed. Because, of course, if you wear a white robe in Rome for a week, it's going to get dirty. The same thing, too, for us after Easter. Despite our very, very best intentions, there will be the daily faults and sins. Of course, there will be. That's to be expected. But the garment is washed and then put away to be fresh for next year. When you received your robe, the priest told you, receive this bright, shining garment. Keep thy baptism so as to be without blame. Wear it this way now, before the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ for the end of your life. So the church is thinking about linen and whiteness and really recognition. Will our Lord doubt that we belong to him? How will he know that we're his? Just because we're wearing the external robe of a Christian, of a traditional, a true Roman Catholic, is that going to be enough? Well, no, our behavior, the way in which we live, that has to show things. The gospel is an interesting one, and it shows how St. John came to believe. Remember, I mentioned last night, this is the doubting weekend. There's always some doubt. And then tomorrow is the Gospel of Thomas, the doubter. And then at the same time, that's the blessing for those who do not doubt, but who do believe. So in today's Gospel, we have the story of how St. John, who wrote the Gospel, came to believe. And it's an interesting thing. It's about the garment, and perhaps it was chosen because of this idea of the white garment that's taken off today and replaced with the regular street clothes, and washed and probably pressed and put away for next Holy Saturday. this is what happened. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb early. We were back again a week ago, very, very early on Sunday morning. And St. Mark just says, well, our Lord's not there. His sacred body is gone. That's all she sees. He doesn't talk about angels in this particular verse or anything. So she goes to the apostles in the upper room, and she tells them that they've taken away our Lord's body. I don't know where it is. That's all she says. Nothing about angels or resurrection yet. And nobody remembers except for Our Lady was clued, and everybody else, for one reason or another, had forgotten the lessons. They weren't listening when our Lord spoke to them so many times in the past during his life. So it was news to them about the resurrection, the idea. It was a shock. So they go to the tomb, and Peter and John are running out of enthusiasm. And what could have happened? Who took our Lord? Where is he? And John, being the younger of the two, Peter probably some older now and out of breath, falls behind. John gets there first, but he doesn't dare to go in first because Peter's, out of respect for Peter, because he's in charge. He shows his respect and he restrains his youthful curiosity and enthusiasm. He looks in, but he lets Peter go in first. Beautiful lesson of not only politeness, but a true respect such as our Lord would have amongst us in the family or in the church. And then when John does go in, he sees a detail. Now, John's a detail man in this gospel. He sees one little thing, and you think to yourself, well, why did he mention that? But he doesn't write anything in vain. If he mentions a detail, it's not because he happened to remember it, because it serves a purpose. So when he looks in and he sees the linens, the shroud and the sudarium, it's also called the mandelion, that covered our Lord's face, and there are several churches that, one of them at least, preserves the true mandelion of Christ with his holy face on it in different parts of the world. Well, he sees that, and he believes, why is that? He puts two and two together. If our Lord's body had been stolen, they wouldn't have paused to fold up the linens. They would have just pulled his body out, whoever was stealing our Lord's body. But he sees that the shroud is all folded up neatly. It's put on the stone bench. And a part, folded up neatly, almost like a corporal, as you see the priest with the corporal at Mass, is the veil that was over our Lord's face. And when he sees that little detail, he believes. Because he sees, he believes. And all of a sudden, he didn't remember his lesson. He forgot all of the things that our Lord had told him in all the Old Testament prophecies, how our Lord would rise again. But he sees that one little detail, and he believes. Now, the church's thought and hope for us is that our Lord will see, at least in us, one little detail, a certain little something, so that our Lord could believe in us and say, well, you're one of mine. I recognize you. Maybe it is from the modesty of our dress. Maybe it is, I was thinking this morning, maybe it's from what we all wear, that we could be recognized, even though our white robe of baptism has gotten awfully frayed, hasn't it, over the years, stained, and you wash it and it kind of seems to be coming apart sometimes, a little, it's all thready and bare. But there's that other robe that we all wear that the gracious mother gives us as our bronze scapular. I think that if we're faithful to that, others to be faithful to that, to consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart, remember, that we could be recognized by our Lord. And that's all we could ever ask for, isn't it? That we recognize him, we believe he's the Son of the living God, we believe in his Holy Catholic Church, but that he recognizes us as one of his own, despite all of the sins and the faults of walking around in daily life. So that should be a joy for us and a hope as we conclude our Lent, and we conclude now our beautiful Easter week, the Masses today and tomorrow. We recognize Christ. May he in turn recognize us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.